In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. During the past few weeks, our attention has been understandably drawn to the Christ child, to the person of Jesus. But now in his baptism, the perspective changes, and it is a distinctly Trinitarian one. At the River Jordan, we have Jesus down at our level. Then somewhere in midair, the Holy Spirit hovering above. And above again, unseen but heard, God the Father, the voice from heaven. If we go back to the Christmas story, we can see that it too begins with a manifestation of the Holy Trinity. The angel who greets Mary is speaking on behalf of the Father in Old Testament fashion. The Holy Spirit is there, overshadowing Mary, and the Son is at that instant taking flesh in her womb. The manifestation of God as Trinity at the start of Jesus' earthly ministry marks out the uniqueness of Jesus. It expresses, for a start, that the ministry of Jesus was not a personal crusade by a gifted individual, but that in his ministry we have to do with God himself. For it springs from the very nature of the Godhead. Jesus' ministry, therefore, is of quite different order to that of John the Baptist, who acknowledged Jesus as the one whose sandals he was not worthy to untie, and who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whereas John baptized with water alone. In these words, John implies that what he is doing is a kind of preliminary to the real thing, still incomplete. And in our second reading today, the one from the Acts of the Apostles, there is a reference to new disciples who had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and who still required the coming of the Holy Spirit to complete the process, as it were. And I think in that passage we can see where our practice of confirmation begins, of water baptism and then confirmation with the bestowing of the gifts of the Spirit. These new disciples, we were told, had accepted the word of God. Perhaps they were like those other disciples on the road to Emmaus just after Easter, who also knew the scriptures, all the prophecies about the Messiah. But they had not been able to make the connection between what they had read and what had been going on around them. And for some people, religion can be rather like that, a matter of knowing the rules and keeping or trying to keep to them simply because they are there. It can be a rather bloodless and intellectual exercise, even a temptation to pride as you tick off the ones you have kept and look sideways at people who do not come up to scratch. Jesus, the Word made flesh, brings another dimension to this, however. In his ministry, he refers frequently to his heavenly Father, who is also our Father. He invites us to a relationship with God, who counts us as members of his family and whose likeness we bear. At his baptism, God the Son is graphically plunged into the swirling currents of human life, no doubt getting his hands and his feet muddy in the process. But more than simply showing Jesus as like us in his humanity, the doctrine of the Trinity tells us, especially when we consider the ascension of Jesus later in the year, that these muddy, messy facts of our human existence are somehow caught up in his divinity to become the building blocks of God's new creation. And so the Word of God can no longer be kept at a distance, an abstract legal precept. It is now part and parcel of our relationship with God and with each other, an open-ended and at times difficult and costly process in which we learn to live in love with God and with our neighbours and ourselves. For some people that could sound like anything goes, or that we can each do our own thing. The Holy Spirit at the River Jordan, hovering between heaven and earth, tells us otherwise. He has been called the go-between God, which is certainly what he is in that baptism scene. He is also the one who is the go-between who connects heavenly law and earthly reality, checking believers' tendencies towards unfeeling formalism on the one hand and unfettered individualism on the other. So far from being a piece of obscure theology, the doctrine of the Trinity is essential to our understanding of what is happening at Jesus' baptism, or indeed what was happening at our own baptism. In this event, God the Father is revealed as the one whose word causes things to happen. Let there be light. Hail Mary, full of grace. You are my son. His word causes things to happen. God the Son is sent into the world because it is God's nature to relate to his creation. And God the Holy Spirit is sent to enable us to see this, to make it come alive for us, and to lead us into an ever closer relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.